Hi, this is Zach. Welcome to the Coleraine Connection.
The official
behind the scenes
inside scoop
down Gilead Lane
Funcast.
And now, your hosts, Lori Twitchell and Steve O'Dell.
Okay, so that's significant. Are you ready for this? This is the convergence of all things, and it's very symbolic
okay.
when you consider my involvement with Gilead, because no one planned this, but on the day of the final episode of Down Gilead Lane, my son turns 13, very significant birthday, I think, and my father, who also shares this birthday, he turned 70 today.
Oh, cool.
How about that?
That is really awesome.
We're going down to visit them, and we'll celebrate their birthdays together. But we had a bit of a party for David tonight. So
that is really, really
anyway.
Cool. You know, John Williams shares a birthday with John's grandmother, which was really significant for
cool.
us. So we're here for the abbreviated short because it's Thanksgiving holiday, and Steve's at home on a Saturday night podcast.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, hey, everybody, thanks for stopping by. And we do promise we will do a more full-blown, comprehensive coverage of 12-13 after Thanksgiving. But we wanted to just, you know, hit some highlights. I was thinking about this episode and just especially reading over the comments that came through on the blog.
We got a lot of comments very quickly.
Yeah. And do you remember how this episode evolved, Lori, as we were kind of planning it?
I do.
I mean, we were all thinking wedding, you know, because Caleb and Carrie, you know, that's kind of the logical kind of conclusion of this season. But we're like, well, but if we want it to be a more big, you know, kind of a bigger event to kind of cap the whole series, you know, maybe we could kind of look forward into the future a little bit. And then it was just all kind of about how do we get there?
You know,
how do we get to that point? So it was just an interesting journey to kind of like think back over again as I was reading through some of those comments.
And of course I begged and pleaded and begged and begged and begged and pleaded to be able to write this episode.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And you kind of had to like yank it out of John Fornoff's
hands. I did. John Fornoff and I had a regular brawl.
That's right.
We word wrestled. Instead of like, because we weren't in the same state, so we can't thumb wrestle, we can't arm wrestle, and I doubt I could take John Fornoff really, but we word wrestled and I won. I think I used guilt. There was some episode that he wrote previously that I had wanted to write, and I had said to him,
"That's true.
All right, I'll let you write this episode, but I will remember this." And then I had to pull that one out and say, "Okay, I really want to write this episode."
But I do have a moment in brainstorming, which maybe I'll dig up for the other podcast we do.
Yes, the one where we're not going to be on vacation.
Right. I do remember him at one point in brainstorming saying, "Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah." So it's not like he was disgruntled or anything.
No, he wasn't. Totally. And he got his... The reality is that this worked out really, really well. Yes, Mr. Fornoff really wanted to write this episode. And for a while, we talked about partnering on it because we've done that with... at least one episode previously, the Valentine's special.
Yeah.
We did talk about partnering on it, but then, you know, he really wanted to be the one to do the wrap up of the Peace of Heaven storyline.
Yes.
And I really didn't.
Yep. Right. That was kind of a passion of his, you know, kind of all through as we were doing the Peace of Heaven stuff. I mean, we really felt it when he wasn't there in season 11 because we kind of had to kind of like, remember where things were at, you know, but he really had a heart for the Peace of Heaven stuff, so
he did.
Anyway.
And so that's how we ended up where we are at this point, with Lori having written 12-13, and we have a lot of comments already. I mean, it is Saturday night, which we never do a Saturday night podcast, so we're a little more relaxed than we normally are. Wouldn't you say it's casual?
Yeah.
Casual podcast.
There you go. We should have some kind of like dinner music playing in the background or something.
We should. But are you wearing blue jeans?
I am. And they got holes in the knees even.
See, I'm wearing blue jeans too. And I'm wearing a shirt that has a stain on it. I mean, I probably shouldn't have said that, but just one of those things.
TMI, Lori. TMI.
Sorry. Like, you could edit it, except it's on the weekend and you don't want to. So I guess
I don't
want to
edit anything.
Hey, when I'm cleaning my house, I'm allowed to wear stained clothes. It's all right.
Absolutely. No, I was just joking. It's not too much information.
Okay.
No, I'm just trying to be funny.
That was very good. Kelly's going to come in and pat me on the back of the head for me.
I'm trying to move things forward here. Let's take a look at the comments, hit some of the highlights of the comments so far. I have a feeling that a week or a week and a half from now, whenever it is that we do the full-blown podcast, we'll have a lot of comments.
Yeah. And we're not even going to hit all the comments tonight. We're just going to hit the highlights.
Yes.
So let me highlight.
Let's do it.
The very first comment was from Katarina. Uh-huh. She jumped everybody. She jumped right to the head of the line and said, yep. It's Friday and I haven't even listened to it yet, but I'm already starting to cry.
Aw.
So we understand. And Renslow came in and said, I'm right there with you. So yep. there was a lot of tears in this episode, but I'm hoping that some of them were good tears.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got to tell you, I was pretty close to the, you know what I'm saying? When you get real in the trenches with these things, you're real close to it. And you kind of know what you're going for, you know, emotional impact, but you kind of you become immune to it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, when I was rolling off the final mix, hearing everything, you know, all together, music and so forth, I got pretty, I got a little misty.
I remember.
It got sort of dusty in the room there, and I kind of had to, wipe my eyes a little bit.
We had a couple of those conversations around it, and I remember you talking about that and pointing that out. And I actually haven't even had a chance to listen to it yet. I have not heard the final draft because we have family in from out of town, and as you all know, John Williams has been sick, so it's been one of those weeks. But he is getting better. He's on medication, so thank you to everybody who asked about him. I think we caught the pneumonia way ahead of time, so we're good, on that. He's very happy. His grandmas are in from Pennsylvania. So so there we go. And now I suppose we should go back.
Well, you've got to listen to it, Laura. You have to. You must.
I know. I promised to listen to it before we do the big special podcast discussing
it. Okay. Well, maybe I'll try to get you the director's cut.
Yeah, because you know what? So I think you told me that the director's cut has, 7 or 8 minutes more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was really long-winded.
Right.
It was really hard to pack all that stuff into a 24-minute.
That's right.
So...
Okay, what other comments do we have here?
Well, Laurie, who we heard from a lot on the message boards and we haven't heard as much from on the blog, she posted that it was a great episode. She was thinking it was going to be something completely different.
Right.
And she said every person out there who wanted Brooke to marry Luke should be dancing for joy right now. Not to mention those who wanted Michael to marry Maya. And the episode does leave her curious about the road leading up to Maya and Michael's wedding.
Hmm.
You know, that's something we'll have to add in later on the blog somewhere.
Maybe people should go back and listen really closely to some of those episodes in season 11 and 12, because there was foreshadowing. If you go back and look for it, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's one of those stories that you don't see it when you're in the middle of it, but when you see how it ends, then you're like, oh, that was foreshadowing. That was a little clue, this and that. You know,
there you go.
Sadie Hawkins dance and. Stuff like that.
Anyway. Renslow. We're going to get into Renslow's review next podcast.
Okay.
Because, you know, Renslow listens and types at the same time, and there's an awful lot of fun stuff in here.
Yeah, cool.
And Kezia said that was the best ever ending. I'm listening to this episode for the second time, and I'm loving the way it's all coming together. Kezia also says, my new ambition in life is to collect all 12 seasons on CD.
Nice. You can pre-order your season 12 right now.
Oh, pre-order season 12 today.
That's right.
And season 12 will have episode 13 in it, will it not?
Oh, yes, it will.
All right.
Five discs, and almost every episode is the full-length version. There's only one that we had to do an abbreviated version with.
Now, somebody in here, I think it was Dave... I think it may have been Dave, but if not, if I'm giving that credit to the wrong person, let me apologize. Somebody in here mentioned that there wasn't an awful lot that happened, that this episode felt like an epilogue. And I really just want to address that because as we were talking about this and as we wanted to make sure to do this, we wanted to end the season 12. That was Mr. Fornoff's thing. He ended that whole Piece of Heaven storyline. That was the end of the season.
Yep.
But we really wanted to do an extra end to the series, because we knew there was no way we were going to be able to end season 12, all those storylines, and then give you, as the fans, a satisfying conclusion to a beloved 12-season radio program. So right. we referred to this, until we had the title, this episode was referred to as the epilogue. And I thought that was fascinating yep. that somebody said, wow, it really just kind of felt like an epilogue. Perfect, because that's what we wanted. We wanted, after you yeah. finish that last page in the book, you turn it and go, oh, look, there's another page explaining where everybody went. That's what we wanted this episode to yep. be for you guys. So,
And it really was that kind of bookend idea. You know, season one had, you know, Meet the Morrisons, which was really kind of a prologue. Mm-hmm. You know, it sort of set up the world and the characters, and it just kind of established who's who and where's, you know, where are we and that kind of thing. And then we kind of really get into the story after that with The Unlovables, which was the two-part beginning of the whole series. So, you know, that was kind of apropos. We had 13 episodes because we had that prologue, and then in this season we thought it would be, you know, it would make sense to have 13 episodes and end it with that epilogue. So
there you go.
Yeah.
So there whoever it was, and we'll have to go back more in depth and make sure we get the right person credited. Whoever called it yep. an epilogue, really, really astute. That was really great. The great way that you pulled that together. We appreciate that. And I have one yeah. more that I want to do tonight, because, you know, okay. everybody else has a lot of stuff. But there was Tony loved this episode. Tony from
England.
Yes.
Yeah.
He loved this episode. He said it reminded him a little bit, tiny little echo of O Little Town of Coleraine, which is a nice bookend for me because
oh, yeah.
O Little Town of Coleraine was the first episode of Gilead Lane that I wrote. So
wow, that's right.
That felt kind of sweet to know that the first episode yeah. I wrote and the last episode were so beloved and had similar uh-huh. themes and feels. That was pretty good. So I appreciate that from Tony. And he said, I confess I've listened to it before my kids just to prepare myself for any questions that I had. Uh-huh. I'm so glad that you're going to be running the series from episode 1-1 onwards so I can compare the differences between the online edits and the MP3s. So that's kind of a cool yep. thing. And Tony had a question for me. And I know we're not really doing a mailbag segment, or we might do a real short one. But Tony's question was, during the podcast, he can always hear clicking.
Yeah.
And he says in here, I'm guessing that that's not Steve. It's not
good
Steve
guess.
Surfing the keys, but it's very super fast fingers. And he wants uh-huh. to know what I'm typing. Well, it depends on the day. A couple of minutes ago, you heard the clacking in the background. That was me answering business email, because I'm here, you know? Why not? I'll just answer an email from a client really quick. I am the queen of multitasking.
She is.
And
she's pretty amazing.
Steve teases me about that often.
if you ever hear things go just kind of dead on Steve's end, that's because he's trying to multitask.
That's yeah, that's what happens.
Something just came in front of my eye, my line of sight, and I just have gone blank for a second.
Oh, shiny object.
So, yeah, exactly. And I'll hear Lori going, Steve, oh, we're podcasting. Yeah. And then
that's
I try
right.
to sound intelligent, and you can totally tell that I was trying to multitask. But no, yeah. not Lori.
No, and I have
She's
some
got three
writing
things
projects,
going at once.
Some personal writing projects that I'm writing on. Doesn't every writer have the great novel in their drawer somewhere? So sometimes when I know I'm going to be sitting at the computer, I just make sure to do other things while I'm talking. It's a mom
yep.
thing, I think. I'm not sure it's a Lori thing. Moms need to be able to do things while they talk on the phone. And this
yeah.
conversation isn't as different from talking on the phone.
Right.
Because Steve and I...
Okay.
Yeah. So there you go.
There was one email. We're not going to do the haiku and get into the whole, you know, mailbag thing.
No, that would hurt
right
us
now,
tonight.
But...
it would hurt to try
right.
and multitask that.
but I just need to set the record straight. I got an email... from somebody who was very grateful that we included her daughter's comment from our comment line on the last podcast.
Yes.
But I mispronounced her name. I thought that she had said Aiden, and actually her name is Eden, as in the Garden of Eden from
Genesis.
So
we're sorry, Eden.
So, yes, Eden, my apologies. I'm sorry. great haikus. She actually gave us three haikus. We only played one of the three that
she
sent.
Awesome.
Yeah, I know. But I saved it. So we may hear from Eden again, one of her other two haikus, in a future podcast. But anyway, I just wanted to get that straight. Thank you so much, Eden's mom, for emailing me and setting that right. And now we know who Eden is.
Yes. And for those of you who are listening, Steve and I talked about this before we started rolling. You know, if you are a longtime listener, that Steve and I are a little name deficient. It took me how long to get Renslow's name right? And there have been several. So it's not that we don't love you, and it's not that we don't appreciate you and all that stuff. It's just that sometimes we have different pronunciations.
Right. And thank you for sticking with us and not holding it against us.
And thank you for correcting us. We want to know how to say your name the right way. So if we've said it wrong, feel free to correct us. That's what Renslow did for a very long time until I finally got the message. So thank you, Eden, and thank you, Eden's mom, and we are very happy that you are listening to us.
Yep.
And I think...
I know. There was one thing that's been, like, nagging at me. Oh, where was this? I'm scanning through the blogs trying to find... It was somebody noticed that we had a different voice on the Becca character in this episode.
That is a good catch.
Nice catch. Listen to this. This is so cool. We have not had Tori, the actress that plays Becca, on the show in a while, and she lives in Ohio, but you know her family still lives here in Grand Rapids. So whenever she would come up, you know, we'd try to work it out so she could make the trip up here, or we'd put her in a studio in Ohio and record her down there and try to work that out. Well, this last time, for this last recording session, I'm trying to get a hold of Tori, and I'm not hearing anything back, and I'm like, email, Facebook, phone, everything I can think of. And finally, I call her parents' house. I get a hold of her dad and find out that she's in Japan for a year. She won't be home until, like, next summer. And I was like, gulp.
It's a little hard to work a recording from Japan.
Right. And by this time, I mean, we're getting pretty close to the recording session. I was thinking, I'll just record her, later, just get everybody else right now. But anyway, I had done enough of the recording that we couldn't really backtrack and rewrite, because, long story short. Anyway, I end up getting a hold of Tori's sister, who's actually older than she is. And I just, spoke with her over the phone. And over the phone, she sounded enough like Tori to be able to pull off Becca, and I thought, she's older. Becca is, in this story, 10 years older. That's actually going to be more convincing than anybody else, because they're all the same age as we've been hearing so far. So it worked out. It was pretty cool, and she was happy to do it. She was like, oh, I would love to. So it was just a lot of details I'm leaving out that are really, really cool, but she doesn't live here. She was just in town
visiting
that day. Right, yeah. So just the way it worked out, was pretty cool.
And that brings another point to light for us. A lot of people have asked why we're ending Gilead. Aside from the fact that we both, we all felt that it was a good time, Mrs. Ritchie and Mr. Fornoff and John and my, everybody, we all felt it was a good time. Everybody who is playing these beloved characters who are like 9 or 10 years old are moving on to their own lives, and they aren't necessarily...
Right.
able to come in and record, and it is becoming more and more difficult to do that, and we would rather end the program this way than to go out and recast with all brand new people, because you remember what happened when we recast Justin? It took a while for everybody to kind of come around, and I don't know how I'm going to feel about that.
It took us a while to find a replacement. I mean, that was quite a process.
It was.
Trying to, Yeah.
We
looked at options for getting, professional voice actors who like specialize in matching, a pre-established character.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of things like that. And
Before deciding.
It just, every one of those things just felt like, just trying to force something to continue that has come to,
a natural conclusion.
Of
we didn't
conclusion,
want to jump
right.
the shark. Does everybody know what that means?
Right. It doesn't matter. It just sounds cool to say.
Okay. All right.
We didn't want to jump the shark.
We wanted to, felt like the stories had been told, not all their stories, because obviously every family has stories that continue, but we felt like what we wanted to accomplish had been accomplished. Right. And it was time. Yeah. And so, and we'll discuss this a little bit more later, but it just brought to light a good point. Somebody else had mentioned that Luke's voice was not in this episode, and it was a very similar situation. And we were just in such a crunch to be able to get it to you. We were not able to feature Luke in this episode. We had to,
the only difference there was that we knew further ahead of time that we weren't going to be able to get him. Mm-hmm. You know, so we knew to not write him into the story.
And we did everything we could to include Luke in the story. I mean, we could have had Brooke marry somebody else, but, you know.
Right. No, I mean, the way you put it together, Lori, it worked really well. I didn't really feel like there was this glaring absence of Luke, you know, because we were talking to him on the phone. We're referring to him here and there. And, you know, he was there. He just never, you know, walked on stage, so to speak.
Right. Right. So that's kind of where we are, everybody. And we know that this has been sort of an abbreviated podcast, but as we said, it is a Saturday evening. Steve and I usually don't like to work overtime hours away from our family, especially during holiday week.
Right.
But we love you guys and thought we would at least throw something your way for the last episode of Gilead's
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if it had been any other episode, we probably would have been like, we can skip it. You know, we'll catch it in a couple weeks. But being the last episode, we just felt we really need to get something out there. So,
yes, and as important as it is to you guys, it's that important to us as well.
Right. So have a great Thanksgiving, you guys, and we will do a full-on 12-13 with the haiku and hopefully some audio, you know, comments and audio reviews and who knows what else. But I think that's, we're just going to have to say, and so it goes with this podcast for tonight.
Yes, we are. And for this Thanksgiving holiday, for those of you who are in the United States, if you're not, it's just a holiday we're very thankful for people and the things that God's brought to our lives. And we are very thankful for you, our listeners, who have been faithful and supported us. And we love hearing from you. And we appreciate you.
All right. Yep. Okay, guys. Take care. God bless. We'll talk soon.
Bye.